Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Derrick. This is the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of South Florida, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 15, 2017, our Zip 19, 2021. And we'll start our first service today with a song entitled, Will Yahshua Find Us Watching? When Yahshua comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with the lamps all trembling bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's breath home? Say, still he find your knees still watching, waiting, waiting for the Lord's call come. If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Yahshua will restore our talents, will he answer thee, will die? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's breath home? Say, will he find in the knees still watching, waiting when the Yahshua shall come? Been true to the trust he left us, do we seek to do our best? If in our lives there is not condemns us, we shall have a glorious rest. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's breath home? Say, will he find your knees still watching, waiting, waiting till the Yahshua shall come? Blessed are those whom the Yahshua finds watching, in his glory they shall shine. He shall come at the dawn of midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's breath home? Say, will he find your knees still watching, waiting, waiting when the Yahshua shall come? Part 26, Gentiles, submission to Yahweh's will. James chapter 4, start with verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with the Yahweh? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth unto envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, Yahweh resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto the Yahweh, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Yahweh will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, unto him it is sin. Okay, that ends chapter 4. James chapter 5, verse 1. Dangers of riches. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped a treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped in your fields, which is of you kept back by the fraud, cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Yeshua of the Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of the slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Suffering and faith, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Yeshua. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. You see, the shepherd rod started in 1930. They were the second feeding pasture of the Seventh-day Adventists. And so, if the Adventists had been following step by step and hadn't had these here false leaders in among them, derailing them, detracting them from the pathway, they would have been looking somewhere down the line for the early and the latter rain to fall in the same month. Because this is what James is referring to when he says the early and the latter rain. He knows that you have to have both of them to finally get a finished harvest. Now it says right here in Deuteronomy 11:14, let's read verse 13, the blessed reward of obedience. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Yahweh your Elohim, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass into thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed unto yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Okay. Now that's in reference to James 5:7, where he says, I'll send you the former and the latter rain. Now here in the last days, Hosea 6:3. Let's go and look at that now. Let's read verse 1, 2, and 3. Come and let us return unto the Yahweh, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on the nose the Yeshua, his going forth is prepared as a morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain, and unto the earth. Okay, that's how he's going to come. Now, you look at Joel 2:23, and Hosea Joel 2:23, and it talks about the former and the latter rain as well. It says, be glad then, you children of the Zion. Let's read verse 21 through 23. Fear not, O land, be glad, rejoice, for the Yahshua will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine to yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Yahshua your Savior, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, the former and the latter rain is only mentioned four times in scriptures together. And so the fourth one is James 5:7, and we'll read that again. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Yahshua. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of Yahshua draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of Yahshua, for an example of the suffering, affliction, and of the patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Yahshua, that the Yahshua is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall under condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalm. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of Yahshua. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. So it says the prayer of the faith. Okay, so those that have faith in the ordained system of the true worship and are following it, then they can ask of anything and receive it. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Yahshua shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it says, well, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, okay, that ye may be healed. Elias was a man subject unto like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his ways shall save his soul from the dead, and shall hide a multitude of sin. That ends James, the book of James. Let's go now and 1 Peter. Peter identifies himself as the author of this book. It was probably written about 63 or 64 A.D. Peter begins his letter by the reaffirming of the wonder of the salvation. He encourages his readers to remain holy, love one another, continue to seek Yahweh's word, and remember who they are in the Yahshua. He gives instructions on the proper Christian conduct in relation unto the unbelievers, governments, employers, and family. Peter acknowledges that suffering will occur, but that there are reasons for it, and the believer must be prepared to deal with it. He closes the letter with a statement concerning believers. It says Christian here, but I like the word concerning the believer's leadership and service. I put the word believer in the place of Christian in a lot of cases. The grace of the Yahweh and salvation. Let's do that again. This is the subtitle for the chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Let's put a preposition up there. By the grace of the Father and of the plan of salvation through His Son, by the new and living way, through the blood of the sprinkling. Okay, that's a lot of addition to this simple six words that was there. But anyway, we'll start with chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of the Yahshua Messiah, unto the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according unto the foreknowledge of the Yahweh the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Yahshua. Now there's that sprinkling again mentioned there, of the blood of Yahshua Messiah, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now we know in Hebrews, we just read to you here, just I believe the last study about this blood of sprinkling is a very key word to remember, because Moses enjoined the first testament unto the house of Israel coming out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness, he says, Exodus 24:8, it says, this is the blood of the New Testament. This is the blood of the everlasting covenant. I mean, this animal blood represents the blood of the Old Testament. And the blood of sprinkling Yahshua represents the blood of the New Testament. And so Peter is teaching this blood of the New Testament, the sprinkling of it. And it says in verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, blessed be the Yahweh and Father of our Savior Yahshua, the Messiah, that according unto His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Yahshua, Messiah, from the dead. Now, Peter's saying that He has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Okay, now, Peter was first begotten of the Spirit when he joined the 11 apostles with Yahshua when he chose him to be one of the disciples. He was begotten. And Peter thought that everything's just going to go right on through and through the pearly gates with Yahshua. He never dreamed that Yahshua would be crucified and die and then resurrected, and then Peter would have to be born again and he had to be begotten again. But Peter's talking to these Gentiles here. He's talking to these Gentiles. He's telling these Gentiles, blessed be the Yahweh and Father of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, that according unto His abundant mercy hath begotten us. See, that us is a pronoun meaning both Jew and Gentiles. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Yahshua from the dead. So, the Jews up from up to the cross, Pharisees, Sadducees, they was offered this first hope. They was offered the first hope. It was only to the house of Israel first. And the 11 disciples, Judas Iscariot, the 12th one, didn't work out, but the 11 disciples, they were the ones that's begotten out of the Pharisees. Pharisees all rejected Yahshua, but the disciples accepted him, and so they were begotten. That was their first begotten. But then after Yahshua died and resurrected, then Peter had visions and so forth about going to the Gentiles. And Peter ended up going to the Gentiles, and now he's telling them, he has begotten us again. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 to those Gentiles, he says, same about the same language, he says, we are his workmanship. In other words, Paul was teaching the Gentiles there at the Ephesians, he says, we have been, in other words, he could say the same thing, we are, he hath begotten us, Paul could say to those Ephesian Gentiles, again, unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah. So everybody in the New Testament then was begotten unto a new hope. Their first hope was in the old covenant, the blood of the animal. As long as their father sprinkled the blood of the animal, they had hope. That was their first hope for the Old Testament. Those that refused to follow it gave up and lost all their hope and never hoped to regain it again. But in the New Covenant, Peter is teaching these Gentiles that we are begotten again until lively hope by the resurrection of the Yahshua Messiah from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in the heaven for you, who are kept by the power of the Yahweh through the faith in the blood of the New Testament, unto the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith in the new and living way, being much more precious than of the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Yahshua Messiah. Okay, who, having not seen ye love, and whom though now we see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith and the new and living way of the Yahshua by his blood, even the salvation of your soul. Now, you have to believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant, the new and living way, the blood of the sprinkling for the salvation of your soul. And Yahshua appears twice a day in the heavenly sanctuary at the sacred hours to take care of the earth's needs, of those that are seeking him on a daily basis. He appears at those sacred hours of the day in the heavenly sanctuary to attend unto our needs, those that call upon him at these times, especially at these times. Now, I know there's a multi-millions of Gentiles and everyone out there in the world that knows nothing about these divinely appointed set times, but they will be taught in due time. And they are also attended to, because they're sincerely living up all the light that they have, and so Yahshua attends unto their needs as well. But the thing is, the daily, the ninth and the 9 o'clock, the third hour of the day, and the ninth hour of the day are sacred hours for the leadership of the kingdom. This is not for those that are at hand to be harvested out there of the Gentile world and of the house of Israel. This is not for them, because they know nothing about it. Until they're converted and born again, they will never know anything about the daily. But this daily is strictly for the leadership. That's reading the Sun Imperative for Brother Stephen Johnson there at Kermit, Texas, to restore that daily. And I told him on July the 14th, 2002, I said, restore the daily. I said, that's a message from heaven. Voice just spoke to me and told me to tell you, restore the daily. And I said, if you don't do it, I'll do it. So mentally, at that very moment when I told Willis that daily was restored unto the kingdom. Even though I haven't perfected it 100% since that time, but the thing is, it is something that is being perfected right here in this kingdom. And this will be a requirement for all the leaderships of the kingdom. That whoever comes in becomes a part of the leadership, that's the first requirement. And once they establish that, then they make it a requirement for all of their converts. Okay, let's go on. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which the salvation that the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. In other words, grace is the opportunity time. In other words, it's their turn now. The Gentiles' turn has come for them to obtain this truth. So grace is offered unto them. In other words, grace, mercy is offered unto them. And then they have a time period for accepting of the truth that comes during this grace period that's allotted unto them. Searching what or what manner of the time the Spirit of the Yeshua which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Yeshua and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the plan of salvation unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The holy life, verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according unto the former lust in your ignorance, but as he that hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we have to become just like Yeshua was. And every thought, word, and deed has to be brought into subjection unto the will of the Father. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to the person judges according unto every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in the fear, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Yeshua as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's that blood. Without the blood, there's no reason for living. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in the Yahweh, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith in the new and living way, and your faith in his resurrection, in the resurrection of Yahshua, and hope, might be in the Father, Yahweh, seeing you have purified your souls and the obeying of the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. There's that being born again. You have to be born again. Not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of Yahweh, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of Yahweh endureth forever. And this is the word that by the gospel is preached unto you. Okay, that ends chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Chapter 2 says, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice, and all guile and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Yeshua is gracious, unto him coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Yahweh, and precious. He also, as lively stones, have built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, for the offering up of the spiritual sacrifices, acceptable unto the Father by the Yeshua Messiah. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Okay, verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of the stumbling, and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. This applies to our situation here, and I'm going to read that to you again. I'll start with verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, this chief cornerstone was laid in 1970 for the Seventh-day Adventists at the end of the Shepherd Rod period in 1970. That chief cornerstone was laid right there at Gilead Center. And this is a present truth prophecy. This is a present tense. This prophecy met its fulfillment starting in 1970 at Kermit, Texas, with the brothers W. Johnson as the prophet chosen for that 33-and-a-half-year period of time that was allotted for Gilead Center for his leadership. That 40-year period allotted for Gilead Center for the total between two leaderships, Brother Johnson and Elijah David. And so I have a witness to that, Alan DeLong. I finished out that 40-year period with me, but not here now, with me here. Here at Liberty Hill, Texas. So the chief cornerstone was laying right there, which is Yahshua in the form of the Isaac Branch message given under Brother Johnson, with the creation calendar, and putting the house of Israel back on true time, restoring the sanctuary back on true time. And it says he laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So those of us that accepted that truth in 1970, we believed on it 100%, and we were not confounded. For 33 years at Gilead Center, we were not confounded on doctrine at all. Those that stayed with keeping just the feast days and believing in the doctrines that was being taught, the basic doctrines of the 2300 days and the cleansing of the sanctuary, and we practice the cleansing of the sanctuary once a year for 33 years. So it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Now, look at this, folks. This prophecy is very unique here. It says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious," and I and my wife, for sure, in 1970, and her parents, my mother, we believe that this was a very precious, that he is very precious. "But unto them which be disobedient," and Brother Johnson was obedient at the beginning, and he taught everybody else to be obedient. For at least 7 years, up to 1977, Brother Johnson taught obedience unto the sanctuary system as it was revealed unto him, and that chief cornerstone. But then after that, though, they became a fallen away and a disobedience there unto those that fell away. "The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." So who is the builder? Who is the builder at Gilead Center? Brother W. Johnson. And those that he had ordained to be his helpers. He didn't ordain me to be his helper, even though Yahweh ordained me to be his helper, and Brother Johnson accepted me as his number one helper. But he didn't just place his hands on me and anoint me and announce that I was his associate pastor. That was done unto his son Daniel. So, what happened? The builders disallowed, the same as made the head of the corner. So in 2002, Brother Johnson and his wife and his son and 10 or so of the members of the church signed a letter rejecting me and my message that I gave the brothers on July the 14th of 2002. So they were the builders. And they disallowed. They disallowed this cornerstone because it didn't become precious to them anymore. They became disobedient unto it, and so they disallowed it. When it come time for that cornerstone to really shine forth in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, it was disallowed by the spiritual builders, Brother W. Johnson and those that he chose to be his associates. And he rejected the message I gave to him, and so it says, but it says that same stone, that same cornerstone that was laid in 1970 at Kermit, that was disallowed by its builders, Brother W. Johnson, the same is made the head of the corner. So Yahshua come, took the reins out of Brother Johnson's hands, gave the reins to me, and so that constituted making that same cornerstone that was disallowed earlier by the original builders, and it was disallowed, it be the same as made the head of the corner. So who made it the head of the corner? Elijah David. and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word. So Verlis W. Johnson and all of his family and a few outside members that stayed with him in July 14, 2002, those that stayed with him stumbled at the word. So that term, that word came from heaven. And that word, the first word was restore. That was the first word. Restore the daily. So they stumbled at the word being disobedient. Brother John says, no, we don't have to do the daily here. We next do the daily and we get into the land. So he stumbled at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. It says right here that Willis Johnson was appointed unto this obedience of the word. One of the first things he announced in 1970, whenever he brought forth the creeds and calendar, was the restitution of all divine institutions. He quoted Ellen G. White, she's in Prophets and Kings, page 678. She said, at the time of the end, all divine institutions are to be restored. So Willis Johnson, he had it all written out there. Daily, he says, the sacred name, and he says, on all these additional feast days to join the seventh-day Sabbath, and he named them all, and it's all in the creation calendar, and he says, faithful tithe ban, and health reform, he named at least five different ordinances that he was going to restore, and he announced all that. Well, this is what he stumbled at, because he didn't follow health reform, he didn't follow any of he didn't follow the sacred name, he didn't follow the daily. He just hit and missed on the daily until he finally gave it up. So this is what we're talking about here. This is a double application right here. This Peter message is for these last days. So in verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, Brother Johnson was not of the royal priesthood. Ben Roden, his predecessor, was not of the royal priesthood. Okay. So, therefore, who is this chosen generation then? Well, Brother Johnson says, we only have the 11th generation. We're in the 11th hour. And that's all. When the 11th hour is over, that's it. That's the end. So he thought he was that last chosen generation. He thought he was that royal priesthood and holy nation. But he was none of that. He was a prelude to this here chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This chosen generation is the last generation, and it comes forth in the 12th parabolic hour. He says, "And holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That in the time past were not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, that had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." See, there was no mercy shown me down there in Trinidad when our time was up down there. There was no mercy showed to me by the previous leadership. It was all cast out. And the death sentence pronounced upon us. That's what happened at the end of the 11th generation in the 11th parabolic hour for the house of Israel here in our time. Okay. Okay, verse 11, we're dealing with the believers and relationship. The believers in the truth and relationship says a Christian and relationship, but we know what we're talking about here. It is the true believers and the relationships. Verse, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify Yahweh in the day of the visitation. Submit unto others, submit yourselves, verse 13, unto every ordinance of the man, for the Yeshua's sake, whether it be unto the king or as supreme. Now, what does it mean here? Brother Johnson restored at least five ordinances of the divine institution that Sister White prophesied about that had to be restored in the time of the end unto the sanctuary. And the sanctuary had to be fully restored. And it says, submit you to others. Submit yourselves unto every ordinance of man for the Yahshua's sake. See? So when Brother Johnson says, sacred name, the daily, tithe paying, faithful, health reform, add all the additional feast days to the seventh day Sabbath, we have to obey all of this. So he says, so I submitted myself to that. And so that was the ordinance that Brother Johnson was shown, and so I submitted myself to it. For the Yeshua's sake, whether it be to this king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of Yahweh, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men. Okay, so with well doing, see? As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of the Yahweh. Honor all men, love of the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. Servants, be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only unto the good and gentle, but also unto the forward. For this is thanksworthy, if a man for conscience toward Yahweh endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? A question mark. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with the Yahweh. For even hereunto were you called, because Yahshua also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his step. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead unto the sin should live unto the righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. End of chapter 2. Now let's go into 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with the fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the cutting of the hair and of the wearing of the gold or of the putting on of the apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, that is in the sight of Yahweh of the great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in the Yahweh adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him master, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, your husband, dwell with them according unto the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of the life, that your prayers be not hindered. Yeshua and suffering, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as the brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips that they speak no guile. Let him excuse evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for the righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Yahweh Elohim in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer unto every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with the meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in the Yeshua. For it is better if the will of the Yahweh be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For the Yeshua also hath once suffered for the sins of the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto the Father, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By that also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of the Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by the water. The like figure were unto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but of the good answer of a good conscience toward Yahweh by the resurrection of the Yeshua Messiah. So who is gone into the heaven and is on the right hand of the Yahweh, angels and authorities, and powers being made subject unto him. Okay, end of chapter 3. Now we're going to verse to chapter 4. For as much then as Yahshua hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's the very key right there. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh unto the lust of men, but unto the will of the Father. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. There's these Gentiles, folks. When we walk in the lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of the riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account unto him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause, was the plan of salvation preached also unto them. That is the new and living way by the blood of the sprinkling. was preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according unto men in the flesh, but live according to Yahweh in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So Peter's telling them back there 2,000 years ago, the end of all things is at hand. So you see the double fold prophecy here. Yeah, 2,000 years later, it is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another, without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one unto another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of the Father. If any man speak evil, let him speak as the oracle of Yahweh. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that the Yahweh giveth, that Yahweh in all things may be glorified to the Yeshua, Messiah, unto whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Yeshua's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Yahshua, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of Yahweh rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a believer in the Yahshua, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Yahweh on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the plan of the salvation of the Yahshua, of faith in the blood of the New Testament, the new and living way of the Yahweh. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit the keeping of their souls unto him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. This brings the end of 1 Peter chapter 4 and also the end of this sermon. We're going to close now with a song. The Beautiful Garden of Prayer.
There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For it glows with the light of His presence. Is a beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. In a Savior of way, when He opens the gate, in a beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting, and I go with my burden and care, just to learn from His lips words of comfort. In the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits in the open
Persons, Alan and Sharon belong.